You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Continuing our conversation with longtime Utah Jazz play-by-play announcer Craig Bowlerjack. I'm going to put you on the spot here. I think this is going to be a difficult question. With everything that's going on right now, with the craving for sports, we've been digging out old play-by-play broadcasts for classic broadcasts. I've been skimming through games over the last 10, 12 years that I've done here at the station. If I was to dig through Craig Bowlerjack's classic Utah Jazz broadcast, can you give me one or two that stand out to you over the past 15 years?
Oh, my gosh, Jordan, I tell you, there's so many. I think, you know, what I relate to is the player instead of maybe a game. And I what I mean by that is calling Mehmet Okur and Money Man and the games that he just looked over at us and blew on his fingers. And those are moments, you know, that I just remember. And Karolinko going 5x5s. Obviously, Darren and Booze. Doing their thing on the pick and roll and just being so, effective and unstoppable. In fact, had they stayed with the Jazz, they had a thing going, like John and Carl. I mean, the pick and roll, Booze and Darren were unstoppable. But I also learned that, sadly, you know, guys believe there's greener pastures elsewhere. And I've talked to both of them after they left Utah, how they wish they had not. It's really an amazing thing. People think you go to the big city and big things are going to happen, but in reality, what you had in the past was pretty good. So, you know, I think watching, even just a couple of years ago, watching Donovan score a rookie record of 41 against New Orleans, and I think that was the first step, Jordan, where we knew he was going to be really good. And I didn't know if he would make all-star status, but it was the first time I saw him take a game and make it his own. And I think it was obviously that night gave us a flash of what was to come. And he was able to get to the free throw line. He knocked down threes. He really led the Jazz that night. They were injured, and he just said, hey, give it to me. And I thought, this kid's not shy about being a leader. So there's all sorts of nights, you know, that I remember, and a lot of characters, by the way, that have played in a Jazz uniform. I've covered many of them. And now being in the chair for 15 years, a lot of guys have come and gone, but they always leave a kind of an imprint of a personality, you know. And you know, it's really interesting. AB was a favorite of mine, and it was tough to see him go. He was kind of a quiet guy, but we always had kind of a fun, you know, thing. AB and he liked Houdini, and you know, these names just kind of come out of the air sometimes when you see what a guy does, and the nicknames stick. Sometimes they don't, but it's just kind of the way you feel at the time. And I'll tell you a quick story. When Larry Miller was alive, the great Larry H. Miller, he came up to me one night. He goes, you know, Bowler, I'm not going to ever tell you what to do or say, but you're killing me. I said, what do you mean? You know, Larry, what do you mean? He goes, well, Memo's contract is up this year, and you keep calling him Money Man when he knocks down the threes, and this is going to be a tough negotiation. We got a laugh out of it. But the way, you know, I love Memo because he was really one of the real guys that I've ever come across in professional sports. And, you know, you meet a lot of guys, Jordan, as you know, and some, you know, put on, you know, a false face. But Memo was the real deal. And he was great. I sat by him on the bus. And we just had great talks. And I love the fact when he'd run by the table and blow on those fingers after knocking down a big three. But you run across characters and personalities. Sometimes you kind of connect and sometimes you don't. Some guys don't want to get involved with the media. But there's a lot of good guys on this Jazz team, and I think Jazz fans are lucky, and they know that too. There's a lot of great personalities.
No question. Now, if you had to flip that to the visitor's side of the bench, who was the most compelling player to announce when they would come into Energy Solutions? I mean, or Vivint or Energy Solutions or the Delta Center, I mean, over the course of 15 years, when you look at the players from the opposition, is there one that stands out to you?
Well, there's multiple, and I'll go through them quick. The first one that comes to mind is Yao Ming. I never knew the man was that big until he ran by the table, and I looked, and I thought, my goodness, this man is of monstrous size but agility. And that's what amazed me the most, that his calves were like my thighs. and he was still able to get a shot off and was mobile around the rim, and I was just amazed of just how big Yao Ming was. Obviously, Westbrook comes to mind, and the anger that he plays with on a nightly basis, and it's not just really against the Jazz, even though that situation that came up last year with the fans, it happens with him about every stop he makes on the NBA tour. He plays with passion, but I think really, Jordan, he plays with anger, and that anger spills over when he's on the bench and the crowd feels it. But that's what motivates him to play. I would think also a guy named Steph Curry has just awed me throughout his career of his ability to get a shot off. He's knocked down several right in front of me and at the table, and I'm thinking there's no way he has that quick of a release. And in a crowd, he's able to do it time after time. And I think we've all been convinced that he may be one of the greatest, if not the greatest shooter from three ever. People will debate that, but his release and his confidence is really unmatched, you know, in the current day, and we'll see what happens when he really gets back to playing with Clay, either later this year or next season. So those are just a few names that jump out. Of course, Jordan, of course, Kobe broke my heart that morning when I heard he passed away. We called his last game at the Staples Center. He knocked 60 down. And I remember just standing there after the game, and I just really took it in because I knew it was so special. It was like a movie. We're in Hollywood, right? We're in Staples Center, and I'm thinking, I better take this in. And I did. I just stood there and watched the confetti fall, and I talked to Kobe. He was very kind that day, came by, took a photo, which is unheard of, and we never do that in our business. We would never do that. But he walked over to Matt and I and said, hey, let's get a photo. And so I still have that, very special. And I don't really try to interplay with a lot of, you know, opponent, you know, teams, but that just happened to be one of those moments that had happened, and that's a moment I'll never forget. And Jack Nicholson to my left, looking at Matt Knight throughout the game, and his Jack voice going, hey, boys, you know, he's going for 30. Then he looks at us, he's going for 40, 50, here's 60, and he just chuckled. I'll never forget Jack just having a grand time, three seats to my left. On the front row, and I think I'll never forget that moment. We've seen some great players, some great, some incredible athletic ability, and some personalities too, Jordan, that go with those players, and that's what really sticks out to me during my 15 years.
Again, Craig Bowler-Jack, our guest right now. Craig, I have to ask you, we had Marty Brenneman on the show just a few months back. We were talking about his legendary broadcast career. His first game of the big leagues was 1974. He got to see Hank Aaron hit his record-tying 714th home run. I mean, what a way to break into the business, right? Do you remember your first game as far as a professional sporting event on the grand stage? Do you remember that?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I started in Wichita, Kansas. First play-by-play I ever did, besides Kansas State football and some basketball radio when I was in school, was I got a chance to call indoor soccer. And people would be like, really? That was the first? Yeah. There was a major league, MISL, major indoor soccer league team called the Wichita Wings that were really popular and a very good team. And I got a chance my last year in Wichita to call a year's worth of soccer, and it was really fascinating, very fast. They used the boards like in a hockey arena. It was really fun. And then when I came to Salt Lake, Jim Nance was here, and he and I worked together for just a mere 3 months before he went off to CBS. And I was given the play-by-play duties of BYU. And I was so excited about that opportunity because, as people remember, 84 was the national championship year, so there was so much hype around BYU and the way they were able to win a national championship. Wouldn't happen today, you know, just the way things are, the P5s have all, you know, stacked up and how it's all working out. But, Jordan, I tell you, it was fun. Lavelle was as classy coach as I could ever help, you know, or hope to work around or be around. He was great. And then, of course, the Ty Detmer era. Took us to another level. And I tell you, I believe those games gave me an opportunity to be seen nationally, and I got a chance to call ESPN football and basketball, and then went to CBS for 13 seasons and then Fox for four, and here I am with the Jazz. So it's been a interesting ride, and I hope there's more miles to go. You know, I mean, I've been very fortunate, but when opportunity comes, you have to work hard and you have to deliver, and that's what I try to do every night.
Now, you definitely have done a great job with it. We can end with this, because I could talk to 100 play-by-play announcers. I may get 100 different answers to this particular question. The night before a game, how does Craig Bowler Jack prepare?
Well, I prepare like I'm preparing for a test in college. I take it very seriously. I think a lot of people sometimes think you just sit down and put on headphones. Not true.
Nope.
I have a two deep for football, and I have a card. I'm looking at it right now at my desk, and I save every one so I can go back for reference. Every game I've called, I've got every press pass every game I've called, I've got in a huge bucket up here in my office. My wife wants me to throw it out. I said, never. I just keep piling them up. But those sheets are so important because I put nuggets of information that I hope we'll all use throughout the course of a game. But as you know, every game is really just ad-lib. And so what you inhale during your preparation, you exhale it during the course of a night. And sometimes you use it all, and sometimes you use very little, because the game dictates on what actually comes out of your mouth. If it's a back-and-forth night, those are the nights you love, because those games are what fans are so engrossed in as well, when Westbrook and Mitchell are trading bucket after bucket, and all of a sudden you got yourself a tight game all the way from start to finish. Those are the ones you wait and hope for. Other nights, the Jazz bust out and open up a 15-point lead, and you start to talk about, you know, the couple of games prior, some tendencies, and you're looking at the opponent a little bit and look at its standing. Sometimes the Jazz are on the short end of the stick, and they're down 15, and you know that they just don't have it in the tank that night. But you try to keep the energy going, because there are diehard fans that are still going to stay with you, and you know that you want to give them what they came for. Others have turned off to old reruns of MASH or Gilligan's Island, right? And you know you lost them. But there's still that base that you want to make sure you do your job and do it well. And, you know, that card that I have gives me a lot of information. But like I said, it's how you prepare and what you know through the course of years in the league. And it's amazing how the mind works, too, that it can throw you back to a time that you remember that plays into the current situation, the current game that you're calling. So, you know, you work closely with Big T. I work closely with Matt. We've got a great broadcast crew, and we try to, you know, coordinate what we're doing and bring the best broadcast that we can. We try to go a feel of a network broadcast every night that we hit the air, and we're, you know, I'm proud of the guys I work with. I really am.
Well, Craig, I definitely enjoyed the last 20, 25 minutes of the conversation. I really, really appreciate you making time for us today. Before I let you go, please let the listeners know where they can follow Craig Bowler Jack. I know right now everybody is craving any little tidbit we can get of sports, and you are active on Twitter.
Yeah, I am. Not like some, obviously, but I'm at Buckle Up Bowler, and if you want to follow, please do. I try to throw in a few tidbits before and after a game, and I like to interact with fans, and I get a kick. I really wasn't into social media, Jordan, much until about 2 or 3 years ago. Then I realized I think how important it is to stay connected and, to try to put a voice out there a little bit about what we do and where the games are. People always ask, what time's the game tonight? Where can I see you guys? And so we always try to feed out that information as well. But I really get a kick out of the humor and some of the incredible, you know, notes and tweets that you see out there. The passion, Jordan, is deep for sports. Not only the Jazz, but for Southern Utah and for Northern Utah and for Utah football, BYU. And the whole region. I've learned a lot from social media, and I think I see the passion of sports fans and how much they actually miss Utah Jazz basketball right now. I can just say to everybody, be safe. And let's hope we get back into this together real soon. And there's nobody more anxious than myself to bring Jazz basketball to them and to share those great moments. And hopefully there's a lot more to come.
No question. No question. Craig Bowler Jack, once again, thank you so much for the time today. It was a pleasure.
Jordan, anytime, my friend, and my best to you. Stay safe, and hopefully our paths will cross soon.
Yes, absolutely. Again, that's Utah Jazz play-by-play announcer Craig Bowler Jack taking out the time to join us here on Drive Time Sports. Different perspective I love the play-by-play conversations. Talk to Craig Bowler-Jack for hours. It's a terrific, terrific conversation. We've got a break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return live from the Auto Farm Studios on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.